Teresa, she spoke after me, and someone from her church told me yesterday, you know, she has never been like that in a meeting before, not ever. She walked in here and she said, I walked in here and I got drunk immediately. She said, I was like, whoa. You know, and that's the prayer. You know, I know people that were praying for it. They were praying for us in India. They were praying for this conference in India. They said, Mac's wife is running a conference at home. So I'm sure that some of those Indian prayers also helped our thing to be so successful. You know, and I'm not going to forget, there's two people over there who are now Mr. and Mrs. Cullinane, and I don't think we recognized you last week, did we? Woohoo! Yeah. Welcome back. You were here last week, but, you know, we just didn't welcome you back, but we're happy to see you. So anyway, I made a disclaimer on Friday. If I don't make any sense, you know, forgive me. And I'm actually still feeling the same way I was feeling Friday night, and I got about 4 hours of sleep last night. I went home, and I thought I was pretty tired, but I couldn't go to sleep. I was thankful to the Lord. And I got another email later at night saying, you know, again, it was awesome, thank you. And I just give the glory to Jesus because it's him. I can't do any of it. I couldn't do one single part of it without him. And during the week, I saw a quote by Reinhard Bonnke, and it says, and I'm going to talk out of Hebrews 11 today. We're going to go 10, 11, and 12. That's where we're staying. Faith is a leap into the light, not a step into the darkness. Because if you're walking somewhere in faith that God's sending you, you know it's not darkness. It's going to be light. I want to start with, I've been learning as I've been studying the Bible. I don't know why. I've learned this more lately in the last year or so than before. Was if you're reading a chapter, the first 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But the now, what does the now say? Something before it, it's talking about something else, and now it's saying now. Otherwise, that now wouldn't be there. And it's in chapter 10. I have the identical Bible up in my prayer room, and it's full of highlights, so this one has none of them in it. Verse 22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And moving over to verse 35 in Hebrews 10. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just will live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And if you need a title for this, I'd say Fathers, Faith, and Fruit. That's the title. I don't know if it fits, but that's the title that I have. And another thing that you guys will understand is for the last 2 days, my nose has been dripping. You know, if you're a visitor and sometimes when my husband gets up to preach, his nose starts to drip. And mine's been dripping for like 3 days. And I don't have a cold, you know. And the pollen count is pretty much nil. So it's not that. So that's a basis. Now, verse 1 of Hebrews 11, again, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, if you look at that sentence, especially the second half of it, it says the evidence of things not seen. How can you have evidence of something that you can't see? I mean, in the natural, you can't. You go to court and you say, well, I have a document that proves that this person is innocent. Well, can I see it? No. I don't have the document. But faith is the substance, and substance is something you can hold on to. You know, it's something you can hold on to. And faith comes from the word, it's called pistis, and it means moral conviction, credence, or belief. and the dictionary defines it as complete trust in someone or something. And that's not really enough for us because, you know, atheists have faith in nothing, you know. But they have, it takes more faith to believe that the earth just happened, you know. But our faith, and another definition is strong belief in God or the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual understanding rather than proof. In substance, that fancy word is hypostasis, and it means to stand under. It gives you support. And so faith to us is really a foundational thing. It's a foundation, and it's our faith in God. It's not our faith in anything else but in God. The other verse in Hebrews, the two main verses that I'm talking about are verse 1 and verse 6. And you should memorize these if you don't know them. Verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. You have to believe that there is a God. You have to believe that he exists, that he's real. And then you have to believe that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, it says, knock on the door, it will be open, seek, you'll find. Here it's saying, he rewards us if we diligently seek him. So in these verses, we see faith is essential to please God. We must believe God exists. And we must believe that he will reward us when we seek him. If we spent hours and hours on our face before God and he never spoke to us, we might start to think, what? You know, he might test us sometime in that, but basically, we seek him, we'll find him. It says, you will find him when you seek him with all your heart. You will find him. And so, I don't know if I have 5 points like my husband always does, but I have 7. Well, actually, I really have 5, but I have 7, call it, whatever. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. All right, so the starting line is faith, foundational starting point. When you're witnessing to an unbeliever, I've had people ask me, well, how do you know God is real? I said, I know that he's real. Well, how? I said, well, I invited him in and he came. And he made himself real, so I know he's real. Well, how do you know the Bible's true? I said, because I read it. And because I read it, I know it's true. Have you ever read it? No. I said, well, if you start to read it, you'll recognize that it's true. You know? You'll recognize that it's true. You can't deny the truths that are in there. They're like no other book. It is like no other book. So we can't have a relationship with God without foundational faith. Faith and belief are very similar things. We have to believe that he exists. And tie it with faith in what he says in his word is true. And I hear a certain person in this building say many times, we have no so faith. No so faith. And when I was a new Christian and I was learning about, this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible among others, when you have faith in something, you know that you know that you know that you know it. Even if there's nothing in front of you that says it, you know that you know that you know. That's no-so. And it's not spelled N-O-so. It's not N-O. It's K-N-O-W. You know it. You know it. Jesus. I know. That night, I shared my testimony on Friday night, and that night when I received the Lord, he made himself very real to me. So there was no doubt in my mind. I knew that I knew that I knew that I was saved. I knew that he came into my heart. I knew it was going to be different from then on. And I was most grateful for that. Because it wasn't so good before he came. Let me tell you. And a false religion will never have that. They will never have the peace of God. They won't ever have it. That's one of the signs. It says, you have my peace. And there's only one path to God. I have a story of this woman who was a volunteer at CareNet, and she one day said to me, well, if Buddhists want to get to heaven their way, they can go to heaven their way. And this one, and this is a Christian agency. CareNet is a Christian agency. So I took her aside and I said, she was a Catholic, and I said, so tell me that Jesus, he got up on that cross and went through what he suffered so that if people want to believe that, that's their way to heaven? And she looked at me and she's like, whoa, I never thought of it that way. You see, he didn't do that for people who might want it. He did it for everybody. He did it for everybody, whether they believe it or not. And I'm not really going by points, so don't mind me. And the faith of our fathers is shown in the Bible. You know, I've discovered some faith in some of my ancestors, and I'm like blown away by some of that. But the ones in the Bible are who we're going to look at today. And they didn't have, we have this book. Okay? We know the stories of Abraham and Noah and all of them. But when their stories were happening, they didn't have the Bible. They had God talking to them. And they listened and they obeyed. And Noah is the first one mentioned. And he was divinely warned of things not seen. Has God ever divinely warned you of something? He has warned me too. Do you know it had never rained? I think that's true. It had never rained before. And God is telling him to build a big ark. And how do you think the people around him reacted to that? Like, what are you, crazy? You know, they had never seen it rain. He had never seen it rain, but he heard God, and he was divinely warned, and he obeyed. He did what God asked him to do. And Abraham, verses 8 and 10, let me go there. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. That's not always so comfortable. I wouldn't say it's comfortable at all. But you see, he was called and he obeyed. And that's like, in one of the commentaries it said, that's attentive hearkening. You know, do you hear his voice? We want to listen. What is he saying to do? Listen, I like that. What was God asking him to do? He's asking him to leave his home and his family and just, well, not his family, they were going with him, and just go off somewhere. He said, I have a promise for you. Just come and follow me. And he did. And when we were at Elam, one of my favorite teachers was David Edwards, and he was a Welshman. I love his accent. And he told his testimony of how in Wales in the late 50s, God told him to come to America, and that's all God told him. But he knew that he knew that he knew. You know, if you hear something, you don't know that you know that you know, don't do it, you know. You can hear things in your voice. If you know it's God, he knew it was God. He moved with his four children, and he found his way to Elam, and he had made some communication with them, thinking that they were going to pay him like maybe $100 a week. And when he got there, he realized it was $100 a month when he finally made that connection. But God had told him to go. He knew that he knew that he knew that he was called to be at Elam. He's in his 90s now and is just an awesome, wonderful man of God who was like a little bit like Abraham, what he had to do. And you know, Sarah is added to the mix. In verse 11, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Judged him faithful. And you know, when they're telling the story in Genesis, doesn't she laugh when she hears it? And then she denies that she laughed. But she obviously changed from that, because she had to believe God in order for that to happen. She had to say, okay, this is God's word for me. I believe it. So she received strength to conceive. And what was the result of their faith? Their one son, Isaac, whose name means laughter. And I saw a little cartoon or something this morning, and it was a Christian cartoon. It showed Abraham out there with all the stars, okay? That's what God promised was. You see all those stars, you're going to have seed. Your seed is going to be more than all those stars, more than all the grains of sand. But what did he have? He had one son. That was the promise, one son. And you can read about the other ones. The other one that touched me was Moses' parents. I always think of Moses, but I didn't think of his parents, even though it mentions them in there. They refused to go along with the king's edict. They must have had a sense from God. It doesn't tell us in Scripture, but I would imagine that they had a sense from God that there was a call in this little one's life, and they weren't letting him go. You know, it says he was a beautiful child. Beautiful, beautiful child. And you know, faith is always tested. Okay? It's always tested. Noah was taunted by people. I assume that they were taunted, you know? Abraham, he receives all the stars in the sky and the sands, and he takes this one son that is the called son, and he has the knife up in the air to kill him. But yet he still believes that God will make something out of it, because God has told him he's going to have descendants, and he's figured God's bigger than me, and he can figure out how he's going to do it. And just in the nick of time, God says, I was just looking at your heart. I was just looking at your heart. That is your seed. You were willing to give it up. And Moses, I was thinking of Moses too. He was living in the palace. Do you know what it's like to live in a palace? He had luxuries. He had everything he needed. Probably had fancy clothes, all kinds of yummy food. But he was willing to leave all that. And what did he leave it for? He left it to go with 1 million people who were grumblers and complainers. Really, that's what they were. He traded the paradise, or the palace, for that. But he knew God had told him to do it, and he was taking them to the promised land. So he gave up a lot to follow what God told him to do. And that faith got the people across the Red Sea. When the Egyptians tried to cross, their faith didn't kind of make it, did it? And this week, pastors and my faith was tested. Last Sunday, I took him to the airport for, I think, what was supposed to be a 5 or 6 o'clock flight to Newark to connect to Qatar. And Rachel and I dropped him off, went home thinking, oh, kind of sad. having some dinner, and he calls and says, the plane's not going to take off. It's not going to take off. It's not going to get me to New York in time. And then he calls me back 10 minutes later, and he says, it's even worse, Kathy. The plane has left, and in the hurry to get myself off of there, because they were hurrying us off, they had to get off the plane, I left my jacket under the seat. And get what was in his jacket. His passport was in his jacket. Okay? So now, Monday, well, that night he comes home and he said, I feel like such an idiot. And I said, don't, because, the enemy's hand is on that. That's the enemy's hand. It's not that you were just forgetful. You had a lot of help in forgetting that. Andrew has told him many times, he'll go up to a ticket counter and they don't have his ticket. So we woke up Monday and we said, Lord, what are we going to do? We messaged Andrew and he said, sounds like some enemy interference. Let's keep praying. And so all day Monday, we were thinking, it caused us to think, maybe he wasn't supposed to go, Lord. These thoughts come to us. Maybe you don't want him there. Maybe we didn't hear you. That went on for just a little while because he said, no, God's been giving me messages to preach in India. People have prophesied about what's going to happen in India. I am going to India. I am going. God is going to work it out. And we got people praying. And I was in the shower Tuesday morning, and he came running up the stairs. And he said, they found it. They found it. Because if we had to report it stolen, it would have become invalidated. His visa would have been invalid. So the airline, because they took fault for it anyway, because he missed his connection. So they're overnighting it to us. So once we knew that they had it, we went ahead by faith and booked a flight for the next day because the passport would be there in the morning. So we, by faith, made that arrangement. And so Wednesday morning, we're following the tracking, and we know that his passport is at the West Boylston FedEx office. So we're like, well, it'll be here any minute. It's going to be about 2 hours before we have to leave for the airport. And it's not there yet. So we're thinking, do we have to go to West Boylston to get this? And so he calls, and it's an automated thing, and it says, your package was delivered to your side door at whatever time. No, it wasn't. So again, our faith was tested there. We said, enemy, you're just playing your hand, but we're going to get through this. We're going to find that passport. So we went right next door, and it wasn't there, and he went to our neighbor's house across the street, and he comes running up the driveway holding it up. They delivered it to the wrong house. And he said, if this was something else, he said, I could call FedEx and complain, but this wasn't this man's fault. This man didn't do it. Someone else was behind the scene there trying to interfere with this trip. And so I took him to the airport. He went sailing through. The enemy was trying to tell me, oh, somehow they reported that passport stolen. His visa's, and I'm like, shut up. You know? But my faith was being tested, okay? My faith was being tested. And I was out for a walk, and I had worship music on, and the song came on, "We Will Not Be Shaken." I said, "I will not be shaken. I'm going to know when he's there. He's going to make it through. He's going to get through customs. He's going to get through immigration. Everything's going to be in order." And we came for prayer at night, and I still hadn't heard from him, and I thought by 5:30 Thursday night he would have been landing in India, which he did. And when I got home, Andrew had emailed me saying he was exhausted. He went right to bed, but he wants me to let you know everything was fine, and he went through. You know, everything was fine on the trip. Hallelujah. And what I didn't share was that when Andrew was at the conference and he told this church where Mac had been the last time, he said his passport is lost, and they prayed. And so when the passport was found, the whole church rejoiced, and people volunteered. His flight came in at 2:35 in the morning. People came up volunteering to go and get him at the airport. Okay? He made some friends over there 2 years ago. So anyway, our faith was tested. But does it say in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith, not by sight? You know, Matt, we couldn't see where that passport was, but God knew where it was all along. He knew where it was all along. And faith has a great reward. We know we please him when we believe him, what he believes when he tells us, when we stand on it, and we'll see the fruit of our faith. Okay? We stood our ground. Yeah, our thoughts came in our head. You know, Max said, oh, I'm disappointing Andrew. And Andrew, he would be telling him, no, this happens all the time. Happens all the time. It wasn't anything that was just of him, you know. But we did make him, like, we wanted to gorilla glue his passport to his chest when we got it. We did say, the thing around the neck, leave it there. Don't ever take it off, you know. Don't even take your jacket off. Just... We didn't want it to, you know, to happen again. But that was a testing of our faith. You know, we'll see. And it may take time. God, you know, spoken things to us over the years, and we have seen them. We have seen them happen. And early in my walk, let's see where it is in the, you know, if you hear God say something to you, and you know it's him, go with it. Okay? He may require you to do something in regard to it, but go with it. When I was a fairly new believer, this is a current testimony right here, this past week. But when God was teaching me these things, I was living alone in Boston, and I had only been saved a few months. And on a Saturday morning, I woke up and I said, well, Lord, what do you want me to do today? It's a Saturday. What should we do? And he said, I want you to go to your parents' house. But I happened to know no one else was living at home at the time, and my parents were away. So I said, why, Lord, would you want me to go to my parents' house? There isn't anybody there. But that's what he kept saying, go to your parents' house. And some of you have probably heard this testimony before. So I walked in to my parents' house, and there was somebody there. It was my oldest brother sitting at the dining room table, broken. And I walked in, and I said, what about Jesus? He said, no one ever told me. I said, you want to know Jesus? He said, no one ever told me how. He was an alcoholic, and his wife had kicked him out that morning, and he couldn't go home. So I told him the gospel, and I said, you want to receive Jesus right now? I really had probably only been saved like 2 months. And he said, not right now. I'm kind of scared. And I said, well, don't leave here today with that. I'm going to be here. I always bring your laundry to Mom's, you know, so I'm doing my laundry. And then my parents came home that night, and before they got home, I said to them, are you ready? And we went in my dad's office. He had an office in the house, and I prayed with him, and with just baby faith, I prayed freedom for him from alcoholism. I didn't know any better. I mean, it said it in the Word. I didn't know any better than to do that, so I did that. And my parents came home, and I went in the kitchen, and I told my parents, Billy just received the Lord, and I prayed for him to be free from alcohol. And they're looking at me like, well, yeah, that's good, but, you know, that doesn't happen. I mean, my parents were godly people, but they just hadn't seen things like that. when my brother got in the car, his father-in-law finally did come to get him and took him home. And he told his father-in-law, I'm never having another drink in my life. And my brother has led many, many people to the Lord. It's just that little voice that he was teaching me to listen to that little voice. And only by his grace did I obey, because it didn't make sense to me. He'll ask you sometimes to do something and it might not make sense. And you know, God did set my brother free that day from alcohol. He hasn't had a drink in 40 years. But I didn't know that day. I didn't know that, okay? I did not know that for many, many years. And he told me, his life got back together. He and his wife got back together. He was reading the Bible. He was leading people to the Lord at work all the time. And it was awesome. But then he told me one day, I haven't had a drink in 10 years. And now it's been 40 years. And that was just childlike faith. That was a new baby faith, you know. And I think he was teaching me something. So I try to listen. Do I always get it? No. But if he's telling you something, go with it. I knew that I had to go to my parents' house, but it didn't make a lick of sense in the natural. And that was faith having a reward, that my brother got saved. He's still walking with the Lord in his almost 70, I think. And you know, if I'm not going to take the time to read it, but in verses 36 to 40, people suffered. Or maybe I'm going to read it because I want you to, maybe it would be good to read it. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. These are people of faith. Okay? Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. You know why they didn't receive the promise? It says because God has, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. I can't say I understand all of what that means, but when you're walking in faith, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have a trial. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have difficulties. My heart breaks when I think of the Christians in the Middle East right now who are being slaughtered, who are being tormented because they believe in Jesus and they profess him. I want to do something. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I can do. I can pray for them. It breaks my heart. I know it breaks God's heart. But I also know in Revelation, there is a number of martyrs. It says they're I forget where the passage is, but it's like they are under the table or under the altar, and until their number is completed. And I just say, Lord, complete their number. Don't let it keep happening. Complete that number. And faith is a race too. It's like a race in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And I would tell you, read Hebrews. Spend a few days, just read it. Read it over and over again. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Don't give up. If he said something to you, if he's promised you something, and you know that you know that you know, don't give up about it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. I always get stuck in that phrase, who for the joy that was set before him. He was going to the cross, but he saw the joy on the other side of the cross. He saw us. He saw that we would come to him. Not only us, but millions of other people. And so, where are you today? Maybe you're new in faith. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to reveal himself to you. And if you haven't, you know, you're in this church and you're with a bunch of people that know that he's real. We know he's real. He's shown himself many times to all of us. And if you're questioning that, I would just ask you to pray and say, Lord, would you reveal yourself to me? I'm willing. I'm willing to have you reveal yourself to me, Lord. Reveal yourself. And maybe you're wavering because of difficult circumstances you're facing. I'd say, read that last section I read. You know, it doesn't mean you're not where he wants you. Our trials work things in our life. You know, we go through things. And it strengthens us. It teaches us to trust him. You know, when my son was being born, he nearly died. He wasn't breathing. It was a very difficult birth. But you know, my 3-year-old niece had prophesied that I was going to have a baby. And I had lost one previously. And I'm on that table, and they're doing whatever they can to save his life. And I said, no, God, you said we were going to have a baby. And it's this one. It's this one. We're going to have this one. Wah, wah. And it was a testimony to the doctor, because he was a Jewish man, and he did all the abortions in the hospital. And I was, like, really upset when I found that out. But he said to my doctor, he was called in as a specialist, he said, what was with that woman? She was like in a bubble. It also happened he was born during a week of prayer at Elam, so they knew I had been in labor a long time, they were praying. I was just in a bubble. But I was holding on to that word. Did I fear, not want to lose my son? Of course I didn't want to lose my son. But I held on to that little prophetic word that came out of a 3-year-old. You're having a baby. And then I got pregnant like a couple weeks later. So I held on to that little word that came out of that little kid's mouth. And Jesus is our example. It says, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And I want to encourage you, in the Gospel of John, there's a guy named Thomas. Okay? There was a guy named Thomas. Thomas walked with Jesus for 3 years. And Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and he came in, and then Jesus said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Because he said, if I can't touch it, I won't believe it or whatever. Thomas said, after he touched Jesus, after he put his hand in his side and saw his fingers, then Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And you know what Jesus said? He left a message for us. He said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Aha. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Okay? So I would say, what has he spoken to you? What has he promised? Are you still waiting for it? Sometimes we have to wait a while for God to do things. We don't understand what he's doing in someone else's heart. We don't understand when I was praying for a husband so many years ago, I didn't understand. But the Lord, he told me to start praying for him. And that didn't mean to pray for my husband to come, but to pray for my husband. So I said, Lord, if he's not saved, obviously I don't want him if he's not saved yet. If he's not saved, Lord, bring him to the knowledge of you. And that was what it was. My husband wasn't saved yet. Okay? But the enemy, when I would pray that, the devil would say, you're nuts. You know, who are you praying for? You know, this person isn't even real. But you see, God had promised me a husband. He had given me a scripture. I knew he was coming. And he had changed my heart to start praying for him. And my husband got saved, and then we met. And for us, that was better. Okay? That was God's best for us, and I'm happy. So I just want to know, has he spoken something? What has he promised you? If you're still waiting, sometimes it can get hard. But read this chapter. You know, you're not alone. He's with you. And I would encourage you, if you would like to come down for prayer, we have altar team ministry. And just have the team minister to you. That's all I have. Again, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for this whole weekend, Jesus. Thank you for this whole weekend, Father. Thank you for the work that you're doing here. Thank you for the work that you're doing in India. Be with Andrew and Pastor today as they travel on to the next destination, Lord. We just ask your blessing to be there, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name.